You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, thank you for your goodness and your love towards us, particularly Christ Jesus. Thank you for your relational being and that you invite us into that. I pray that you would be with us now and you would encourage your people in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. If we haven't met, my name is Mary Ann McCarty. I'm all staff here. And this is my friend Catherine, and we're going to chat. Just introduce yourselves.
I'm Catherine Maxwell. I've been at the Advent 7-ish years, and I've known Mary Ann about 5 years.
Yes. Actually, part of even how we came to be sitting here is that we have mutual friends. One of Catherine's dear friends, along with her sister Amanda, was my professor at my seminary in Chicago, and they were visiting here after I'd briefly, just moved here. And so they said, hey, come meet our friends. And I'm like, well, if y'all go to the Advent and you're cool people, maybe I should go to Advent. And that's the true story. So that's a lot of power here. I tell people all the time, Catherine is one reason that I'm here. So grateful for that. And the series that Gil has started for this summer is some of our favorite things. And one of my favorite things is friendship. And so as I was thinking about talking about that, I didn't want to do that apart from Catherine because she's a good friend to me, but she also is just a good friend in general and has many rich relationships in lots of different areas of her life. And I've learned a lot from her and what friendship is, and particularly how friendship helps us in our Christian life, in our journey, what it teaches us about who God is and what it's like to live in relationship with God and God's people. So we're just going to have a conversation about friendship and how that affects our lives. So we've got a few different points. So we'll get going.
Yeah. As we were talking about this class, the thing we kept coming back to is that friendship has been one of the most transforming experiences of our life and of God's grace in our lives. And not just friendships like this friendship, but any type of casual friendship, once a year friendship, Christian and non-Christian friends, and just anyone you encounter in your daily life.
And that's kind of our first or maybe foundational framework as we think about friendship and relationships is that God is relational. God is triune. And so for us to be in relationship with others is to really live out being made in God's image. Talk about.
Well, he created us out of a desire to share in that perfect and beautiful relationship that the Trinity experiences together. And so in creation, he created Adam, but he also created Eve because we're made for relationship with God, but also with other people.
Mm-hmm. It's very much just a fact of who God is, and the fact of life with God is relationships. And so we're nurturing and experiencing the goodness of human relationships that teaches us even more of how to be in relationship with God as well. John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's basically his prayer before he goes to the cross. And he talks about wanting us to be in that relationship with God, the Father, and himself, and the Holy Spirit all together. That's Luke. Should have had it marked. John chapter 17. Jesus says, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you and they know you've sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. It's this place where we see, in addition to creation, that God is triune and makes people to share that relationship with him. Jesus, here he is going to the cross, and he's saying, I'm doing this because I want them to be with me. And I want these people who I know and love, I made, to share in this trading relationship that I have with you, God. And I think that's absolutely miraculous.
It is. And it's something I've had the pleasure of being a part of the children's ministry here in years past. And part of the children's catechism is, why did Jesus die for our sins? And the answer is so that we can have a relationship with him. And so that's resonated throughout the children's ministry as well.
It's very foundational. Talk about Psalm 127.
Yes. Several years ago, I remember Doug Webster talking about Psalm 127 that says, children are a heritage from the Lord. And I don't have any children. But he said that this psalm reminds us that the measure of our life is not in our achievements, but in our relationships. And that relationships are a gift that God has orchestrated for us. And I think we can't talk about friendship without talking about C.S. Lewis's Four Loves. So I'm going to read a quote from that says, I think, and echoes, or maybe Doug Webster was echoing from that, Serafinovich. He's talking about how we think we've chosen our friends to some degree. And it says, but for a Christian, there are, strictly speaking, no chances. A secret master of the ceremonies has been at work. Christ, who said to the disciples, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, can truly say to every group of Christian friends, you have not chosen one another, but I have chosen you for one another. The friendship is not a reward for our discrimination in good taste in finding one another out. It is the instrument by which God reveals to each the beauties of all the others. So that the idea that our measure of our life's achievements is our relationships really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That puts a lot of value on investing in relationships, giving it a lot of time and attention, and knowing that that is a worthy investment.
And clarifies decision-making sometimes.
What do you mean?
When you think about the measure of my life is in relationships, and you're wondering, what do I do in this situation? Sometimes I go back to that.
It's worth choosing people.
Yes.
It's worth choosing friendship. It's worth choosing something that builds or invests in your relationship. Which is really connected to something Catherine and I talk about a lot, particularly when it comes to friendship and also just living life in our world. We need other people, and our world tells us that we need to be self-sufficient. So if we're not measuring our lives by our own achievements, but by our relationships, and it's valuable to invest in relationships, that will push against our need for self-sufficiency, because this would be a point two. We need other people by design. Not only has God made us for relationship, because God himself is relational, but God has made us as people to need other people, to be interdependent creatures. That is a good thing, not a bad thing. So yeah, talk to us, Faha.
Well, Jesus famously had friends.
Yes.
And received the help of his friends. And it's vulnerable to need other people, and not a shameful thing like our culture might make us feel sometimes.
Right. It's okay that I can't drive myself to, or I could drive myself to the airport or pick myself up. But if that is not a wise decision, it's okay to say, Catherine, can you give me a ride?
Exactly.
Even though I say, no, she probably has something better to do. And she's happy to get me a ride.
Yeah. I think friendship teaches us about self-sufficiency, because I try really hard to not need anybody else. And I think our culture encourages us and tells us that you can't trust anyone but yourself. And in friendship and relationship and those things we were created to need, go against that. And the human experience includes that some things are a lot easier with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as much as I want to do it all myself, it's more valuable or more messy too to include other people in my life. I mean, it's something I need. Yeah, it's not fun to sit in the waiting room alone. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be. I think about Jesus needing his friends to stay up and keep watch with him. That wasn't because Jesus was a God. It feels like a weak thing, and in some ways it is, to be needy. But to say that Jesus said, please, can you stay up with me? I need help. I'm like, it's not a shameful thing. It's not a bad thing, although it's vulnerable. We have a model in Jesus of receiving help and not just doing it all on his own, even though he could have. I mean, even the gospel reading, feeding the 5,000, he says, go feed them. And they said, well, we don't have any food. He said, well, go find some. And then he blesses it and he gives it to the people, to the disciples, for them to do it. Like, he's sharing his work, he's sharing his life, and then he's receiving help from the people that are traveling with him, providing for him, setting the table for the Last Supper. He doesn't do it all himself.
And speaking of sharing meals, our small group,
yeah,
we're in the same small group. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a small group, you should get a small group.
Definitely.
What we love about our small group is that we share a meal every 2 weeks. We talk about our lives, and we share the good parts and the bad parts of our lives. And our small group is, we celebrate graduations, mm-hmm, and grandkids.
And retirement.
And retirement and new jobs. Because our small group is not just people our age, mm-hmm, but it's women of all ages. And so that has created a really special place for us to grow in our Christian lives together.
And it's a vulnerable place to say, hey, I'm actually struggling this week. And, or like, here's this prolonged situation, and have people saying, well, how are you doing? We're going to pray. We're going to expect God to show up. And then when tragedy strikes and a house burns down, we're taking care of people. And it's just what we do. And it's a way to see the community of God working, I think, as it should. And not saying, oh, well, great that we believe all the same thing, we profess the same faith, but we're actually walking together. But it takes time to build, and showing up week in, a week, 2 weeks in, 2 weeks out. And yeah, praying and being honest and receiving help, receiving a meal or bringing sides. We do that too. What else on that point?
Friendship sounds hard.
It is, Ankel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We talk about needing people and letting people in and choosing to invest if it's the measure.
Did you say the measure? The measure of life's achievement. Honor, achievement.
Yeah. Isolation. Put it in our relationships. So you're saying, okay, this is important. But then we talk about needing people and being vulnerable. And it's like, well, that doesn't necessarily sound fun.
Why is that your favorite there?
Yeah. Why it's friendship, your favorite thing. It'd be out to be vulnerable. If, especially if I believe what the culture tells us is that I can only trust myself, I'm the only person I can count on. So if I'm pushing against that because God is relational and Jesus accepted friendship too, I still might get my heart broken. And we know that Jesus experienced that too. Jesus had close friends and they let him down and they betray him. He felt totally alone at times. And so if you're hearing, okay, yeah, friendship is great, but I don't feel that, or I miss that, or I've been really hurt in friendships. Yeah, same. And you're not alone. We, to be in relationship with people, there's another C.S. Lewis quote on that from the same book, to say, if you're going to open your heart up to love others and to experience love, then you are opening your heart for potential hurt too, but believing that that's how we're actually transformed, by receiving love, by being in relationship with others, you say, okay, we're going to take that chance. Yeah. Any thoughts?
Well, I think the third idea that we had was that friendship will break your heart, as Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that when you feel totally alone, you're in good company, mm-hmm. because we've all experienced the feeling of aloneness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even having good friends doesn't mean that we're always hanging out or I always feel perfectly understood. There is that time when I think nobody gets it. Nobody knows my life. It's just me here. And that's where I think learning friendship in person helps me then translate that to God, to say, God, would you be my friend right now? Would you, if when I'm feeling totally alone, and it feels like there's nobody around or nobody who really gets it, even if there's a lot of people around, I feel alone with myself, to say, Jesus, are you here too? Do you know what this is like? And he says, yeah, I've been there. Can you come be my friend? Can you come sit with me and be my comforter? And learning to experience that and kind of take Jesus up on his word, I've called you friends, he knows what that's like.
He does. And not only does he know what it's like to feel alone from his friends, but also to feel cut off from the Father, that one perfect and eternal relationship that they had, to feel that God had forsaken him. And so knowing that whatever I'm feeling, the aloneness, that Jesus has felt it and experienced everything that I have experienced, mm-hmm. that's a great hope.
For sure. And for John 15 again. I don't know. We talked about Jesus' words in John 15. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whenever he hears, he will speak, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. So when we're experiencing aloneness, knowing that Jesus is our friend, both who has experienced it, who will remind us of that truth, and also who will come to us reminding us he has loved us to the end. He has laid down his life for us and invites us into that kind of life. Mm. Yeah, it's very vulnerable. Mm. And it can be very risky, and it can be easier to say, no, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to be head of anybody. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to admit need. And yet I think we miss out both from the gift of God in relationship with other people that he's given us in community, and miss out on accepting the friendship and companionship of God when we close ourselves up to it, because what if we get hurt? So then a fourth point or idea is, yeah, since hurt happens in relationship, what do we do with that? And is, you already said there's hope, but
there is hope.
Expound, please.
Well, Jesus is making all things new, and that includes our relationships. And as we wait for the redemption in the already and not yet, we wait in hope that our broken relationships will be redeemed. And it doesn't take me long to think of people who I have unresolved relationships with, for whatever reason, and knowing that Jesus is making all things new, that's going to be redeemed as well.
Yeah, same. I can't think about friendship and the joys and potential hurts of friendship without a list of things that are difficult memories, and to say, okay, well, Jesus, can you handle this too? And that's even part of what makes it scary to open myself to new relationships at times, is the betrayal or disappointment, et cetera, hurt of past relationships, past friendships, that to say, okay, Jesus, that's not beyond your redemption, because you are triune, relational, in an eternal, perfect relationship, this is what you're about. And so not only will my relationship with God be completely free of sin and deterrent, and we'll see him face to face, see him as he is, but then knowing that God can handle the places that I failed in relationships in the past, the things that I've done to hurt other people, Jesus is not left undone or not left untouched or unhealed. And that's really comforting to me. I don't know how he does all that, but I'm glad he does. And it's a prop, like you said, it's a promise that we can count on, that we will be with God and with others and an open and perfect relationship. And so, yeah, imagining what that's like, imagining relationships without jealousy or comparison or
misunderstandings.
I didn't mean it that way. Truly believing the best of each other, and probably even with all the shame of being needy.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to imagine and to count on and look forward to. And so that, I think even that hope can influence the way we invest in relationships now, to say, okay, this is what God is about and this is what God is doing. This is where we're headed. How do we cultivate and nurture good relationships that are pointing to the peace of relationship with God that is coming and relationship with people? It's very exciting. And that's where it is such grace to say, okay, the times where we're sharing a meal usually is when I experience it the most. I thought about saying my favorite thing is specifically sharing meals with friends, but I thought that was a little unnecessarily specific for the dean's class. But that is true. But those times when we're sharing meals and we're being honest or laughing and sharing our real lives, and we've all contributed and we're kind of on the same playing field because we all need to eat. Those are the times that it does feel like heaven on earth. And it reminds me of the marriage supper of the Lamb, the banquet that we will share. There's reason I think that that is so much of the imagery of life in God's new creation.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I would love to hear if y'all have any thoughts on what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. How you seeing friendship in your own life?
Yeah. One thing that I was reminded of as we were sharing, which I have a grateful heart for, during COVID, you know, I was in a small group at Bethany. It was on Zoom, so could not real funny for Howie. I was just saying, during COVID, I felt like I had a season of closure with a lot of friends, maybe even folks. So it's not going to be at the same place at the same time. And I wondered how I got to be this age and I was so lonely for some new friends. And people were isolating longer than I wanted to isolate. Obviously, but I've been more a risk taker if it comes down to being with somebody. So I started praying about it. And I prayed about the Advent because I've had a hard time getting connected here. And it's just funny how you want God to answer those prayers instantly. So in 30 days, I've been with Jay. So that kind of thing. And you can get discouraged. And I'm in a small group with these women. And it is so amazing that it kind of redefines Sunday school class. We're all here for each other. And I don't get to see them as much as I like to. But I do believe God chose us and put us together and has a purpose and a plan. And it is to strengthen us for one another. And so we will take ourselves so seriously. It's wonderful to hear that they don't mind my weirdness or my idiosyncrasies. And that they come back and I come back to them time and time again. And I do believe that was a gift from God, that he really does choose our friends. And I had not always chosen wisely. I think he does a better job.
He is very good. Thank you. Yeah. And we do love you so much. No, plug for Smallverts for sure. And just a plug. One thing I love that Catherine does well is she has a lot of friendships with people from different age ranges. And can you speak to that just for a second as we talk about our group? And then, anyone else can share some thoughts.
Well, I realized that it's probably because my mother had a lot of friendships of people of different ages growing up, and we would go visit them. And I am so grateful that I don't just have friends that are my age, but friends that are 30 or 40 years older than me and everything in between. And hopefully I will be the person with friends 30 and 40 years younger than me when I'm that age.
What's different about it than just friendship with people of the same age?
There's nothing different about it. It's exactly the same. But I know what you mean. We have different things to offer each other. My friends who are older might have more time than I have right now. More flexibility. But there's a wisdom, of course, about life. A shared experience. I've been there. Let me tell you about it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to make it.
Yeah. Everything's going to be okay.
And that. You keep telling us.
Yeah.
Thanks. Who else wants to share a thought about friendship or relationships? Yes. I'm giving you the mic.
I was just thinking about what Catherine said about unresolved friendships and just how they will ultimately be redeemed. And, you know, also, yes, to be thinking about, like, you know, what a gift it is when there are friendships that, you know, are, you know, improve your result, you know, through something like what you experienced during COVID. But also just, I'm thinking of two friendships in particular for me. You know, I've two friendships with two people who I was very close to. One, you know, face which kind of fell off. Another is improved, kind of been re-improving over time. There's still some fracturing, but just kind of comfort in thinking, hey, even if we don't see it on this side of on this side of heaven, you know, that it will be redeemed. And there is a lot of comfort in knowing that, you know, I mean, because these are friendships with two believers in particular. I mean, that's it. Just give me something to think about right here.
Thanks for sharing that. Being honest about that experience. I'll get it.
Yeah, I think we carry shame about those things, those unresolved relationships in our lives, and wonder what we could have done differently. But it's something we all share.
Anybody else had an extra mic?
So a few years ago, I went through kind of a difficult situation. And I was reading through Job. And we all like Job 42 10, where it says that God restored Job's fortunes. He gave me back double everything he had. But the next verse, after Job's got more than he ever had before, he has a family again. The next verse says, and Job's brothers and sisters are those who knew before. Hang to him that I comforted him and I consoled him. So even after everything looked right, Job still needed the comfort, consolation of his abandoned friends. And I think that's a real important aspect for sure.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm curious from our, your ladies who are leading us today, what one or maybe two small shifts could we as individuals or families or as a parish make that would invite more connectedness and friendship?
Thank you. That's a really good question. How do you spot?
Well, geez. I immediately thought of your sermon today. Marianne preached on the Genesis passage, and she encouraged us to show our lips, to not be afraid to show weakness. And I think that's what we learn from the gospel is strength through weakness. And I don't know if that's what you're hoping for this up, but
honesty. Yeah, honesty of like, I've really been through it. And so if I show up to a small group, or last night, Catherine and Margaret and I did a puzzle together, super wild. But if I don't say this is honestly what's going on, I don't know what I'm going to do next week, then they don't get to help. And I'm continuing to be alone and just having to figure it out with myself, or myself and God, which I could talk myself into saying that's enough. But God works through people, and God speaks through our friendships and our relationships. And so, yeah, not hiding your limp, not being ashamed to say, I've really struggled with that, or here are my fears, and here's where I need you, is not easy. And it sounds a bit like a spiritual answer, like, oh, that it doesn't sound very practical, but I think it is practical to say, please be honest with each other, and especially your friends. I mean, we talk about Jesus having the three close friends and then the 12 and then the crowds. Like, no, you don't have to blab everything to everybody. But do you have people in a church who you were actually honest with and would receive actual help from? To say, yeah, I really could use a meal. Something. So admitting need, I think, is a big one, Lisa. I do think even being in small groups is a good idea, that if you're not in connected with people, if you're coming on Sunday morning and you, like, we just sit here and leave sometimes, but like sticking around to talk to somebody, inviting someone over, maybe going to lunch after church, like some of those things that sound small, like extending an invitation and then receiving an invitation as well. Hey, do you want to go to lunch afterwards? And so, like, I couldn't wait to go take a nap. But yes, because I can take a nap after lunch. Like, that it sounds very basic and very small, but how often are we actually saying, hey, come along, and saying, thank you, instead of like, well, that wasn't, I can be very much, I like to follow my plan. And so if I hadn't planned to go to lunch, then I have to really think about it for a long time. It's like, no, you need to eat buffet. And so building new friendships, like reaching out and then accepting that too, I think is important. And so, yeah, like showing up at a women's ministry thing or the men's cookout. I want to come. I like grilled meat. But no, super important. And like start a real conversation and then follow up next time you see them. It's kind of, it feels very basic, but I think it can be easy to come and expect everybody has it together. I need to have strong faith, so let me look like I'm fine. And it's just not necessary, because Jesus came for all of us and is making us all new. And if that's what we're talking about, then we get to be honest about that. Catherine shares her knitting needles with me. Well, we share them with each other.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, I need the size that she has, but I don't want to go ask her for them or ask her to bring them to me. So I think about going to buy them instead. And that's the whole point of sharing. So this is a very tiny, tiny, tiny example that reminds me it's okay to let her help me in that way and vice versa. But it's hard, even though we've said, let's do this together. It's tempting to say, no, I'll just do it myself. So like finding ways to actually show up and extend the gift of help and connection with other people. I'm going to keep thinking about that.
Yeah. Is this probably that lunch what you paid?
Yes. Yeah. Teddy.
Well, as a friend who, wife is very evil. And so, in eternal situations, I'm more of a quince, I know you a long time. I'm multi-graphic, but as we were out, it was very much, and we did. There was, we had a good time. And I've experienced, like most people our age, loss of parents, loss of someone's loss of spouse, is that right? And then his wife finally died. And at the funeral, there were about 300 or 400 people there. And I thought, oh, well, that's great. The 300 people are going to hug him to death and say they love you, which they did. However, I didn't know it later. So that's not a few wonderful idea, or usual, but at least you got it there, and I'll help in any way I can. And I've told him so, which is true for, I'm sure, all people would tell you as well, right? That's why they put up here, there, into a paper, and so got a phone number there, and so call them or not, you know, that's how funny.
Yeah.
That's it.
I have friends I see maybe once or twice a year, and sometimes I'll just write them a letter in the mail. Can't talk on the phone, but just checking on you, thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. Showing up and following up. It goes a long way. Thank you for sharing that. And not being afraid to take the chance. Kind of put yourself out there. Say, I'm going to write a note. You might not need it. It might be too basic. It matters. It matters. And remembering to call her is huge. Thank you. Any other thoughts about time to wrap up? Yeah.
First of all, thank y'all for leading this topic and, yeah, for everything you said. As a, for the men, maybe I'll just speak from that perspective, right? And specifically, middle-aged, well, obviously, I'm assuming. Middle-aged kids, you know, friendship. I mean, we all experience loneliness in our own ways, right? And married, single, old, young, kids or not, we all experience that. But I think, and this has to reach your point about what actual changes we can make, I feel like my experience is probably typical of a lot of men in my stage where you're so busy with everything else. One of the very first things that's going to get cut is hangout crits. It's just easy for that to get marginalized or eliminated. And so what's been really helpful for me, since we've been at the Advent the last four or so years, is having a men's group that meets in the morning. And that way, it's like, it's on the calendar. You know, I'm kind of slaving my calendar. A lot of us probably are. And so I've been one for a few years now, and then now I'm in the second one. It kind of seems like a lot, but it's 2 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Out of my whole week. This is devoted to come together with those guys. And there's some curriculum, and we study different books, you know, books of the Bible, whatever. But a lot of it's just, what's going on with you? And you know, not everybody comes every week, but it's regular enough that over time, really form some, you know, strong relationships. So I would just encourage anybody, especially the guys mm-hmm. who are busy. Well, I know we're all busy, but you've heard something in our culture about, you know, men, male loneliness and all that stuff. I would encourage us all to take advantage of those opportunities when they're given. And if you can build something into your week or your month that's just sort of like regular, mm-hmm. you don't have to go out of your way. I think that can be very helpful.
Thank you so much. I totally think it. Totally agree. I feel sad for my guy friends to not have the kind of girlfriends I have a lot of times. So thank you for speaking to that. And really do pray that our church will be a place where we have strong relationships. And so, like you said, finding ways to take the opportunity is worth it because it's hard to come by. And I think out there doesn't make it easy. And so finding it here when we can and participating in that well is absolutely valuable and worth it. Strengthens our community, I think, is a huge witness to the watching world who says, what's the deal with your faith? What's the deal with Christianity? But when I tore two ligaments in my knee and the church was bringing meals, my friends who don't go here are like, your church is really right, or like they're really taking care of you. Like, yeah, it that people are watching. And so to say, hey, I don't have friends, but you meet with these guys and I see how that affects your life, like it really matters. It's both good for ourselves and our own spiritual walk and our relationships day to day, but it's also a witness to say, no, we care about each other because we believe that God is relational and God is going to work in our world through our relationships. It's time to go now. Okay. Thank you. Let's pray.
Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a weekly gathering of friends. Thank you for our shared faith. And thank you that you chose us and have orchestrated everything, including the relationships in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.